The actor Benjamin Bratt as the writer Miguel Pinheiro, who died of cirrhosis of the liver in 1988. He was 41.
And you fight the hardest fight of your life each day out there in them streets that demand blood to nourish its own energies. Today and all the days and tomorrows that are left inside your soul, you know? And when it's over and the streets are soaking up in the blood, you smile and you know that you just won another day with yourself, you know?
When Bratt found out he got the role, he went to get the blessing of the man who co-founded the New Yorican Poets Cafe with Pinheiro, Miguel Algarin.
He got up out of his chair and he went over to the bookshelf and he pulled from the bookshelf a rusty old coffee can. And as he peeled back the lid, he revealed Mikey's ashes and he said, "Now I want you to meet Mikey." He reached into the can, he placed a pinch of the ashes in my palm, closed his hands around mine, looked me square in the eye and said, "Yes, you have my blessing, but if you f*** this up, I will kill you."
Benjamin Bratt knows he's an unlikely choice to play Miguel Pinheiro, a sometime thug, junkie, ex-convict, street hustler. Bratt is best known for his role as the smooth and elegant detective Rinaldo Curtis on Law and Order. Bratt says he was tempted and scared at the same time.
Miguel Pinheiro was nothing, if not an incredibly complex and complicated individual. You have a man who was working in classical forms, writing poetry and theater. What he did with those things by putting an urban slant and kind of ethnocentric spin on things created a new voice, something raw and gritty. And the subjects that he explored in his writing were things that he embraced and knew firsthand. Abject poverty and drug addiction and petty crime and sexual abuse and childhood neglect and incarceration, illiteracy, all of these things, these great social taboos that as a society we tend to turn a blind eye to, we don't like to talk about. He not only embraced them, but he wrote about them.
When you went to the director, Leone Chasso, he had hesitations about you as well.
He certainly did.
You were too pretty, too smooth for this part. How did you convince him that this was you?
That was a funny first meeting because it basically lacked purpose other than my mission to tell him how impressed I was by his work and how wonderful I thought he was as a writer. And we continued in conversation to talk about why I thought I was wrong for the role. And I went for all the superficial reasons, that I was too tall, that I was from the West Coast, he was from the East Coast, that he was of Puerto Rican descent, I was of Peruvian descent. It wasn't going to work. And it wasn't until months later, after I won the role, that he, as much as admitted, he felt the same way. "You're too healthy. You're too clean. You shower too much."
I can do something about that. So how did you sink down into this role? I imagine it was a descent of some kind.
It was. There are a number of things that influence performance like this. My primary concern was to have a complete understanding of what made the man tick. And I found that most of the answers really laid in the text, the things that he wrote about. And he was remarkable as an artist in the sense that he didn't self-censor himself. He talked about his own personal experiences through his poetry, the very darkest places of human behavior and social existence. So that's where I got the best understanding. And then, of course, I had the good fortune of having his surviving best friend, Miguel Algarin, to flush out the other dimensions of the man. Some of the most sage things that he said about Miguel was that he had a wondrous feminine side to him. You know, don't do Miguel Pinheiro the disservice of playing him as a one-dimensional street con. He was an intellect. He was a philosopher. He was a self-labeled philosopher of the criminal mind. He could recite Shakespeare and Rimbaud and wax poetic on Kierkegaard and, you know, as well as get mean and nasty in the street. And one day we were discussing Miguel Pinheiro and out of nowhere came this statement. He said, "Do you know, Miguel was an elegant intellectual in the vestments of a street mind." My jaw just dropped down to my chest, and I was just so blown away by the level which these men communicated with each other. That's how they dealt with one another.
It seems like a lot of his character comes through in his voice, but also in the way he moves, in the way he gestures. Mm. What's that about?
Well, I think that the film in general possesses a kind of musicality. you know, you can generalize and say that Latin culture has an inherent rhythm in it. But poetry, in the structure of poetry, by nature of what it is, has an inherent musicality to it. For myself, as an actor, those were the moments where I found myself most challenged and most excited, was reciting his poetry. I don't consider myself a singer, and yet that's the closest I've come to singing a song.
Yo! He was dead. He never lived. Died. He died seeking the cause, because he said he never saw the cause, but he heard the cause.
There's a scene shot up on a rooftop where you're singing, reciting the poem, Seeking the Cause. Tell me about shooting that scene.
That scene was shot on the rooftops of the Lower East Side at the end of the first week of shooting. To that point, I felt like I was getting by portraying Miguel Piñero, but something clicked in for me, something altogether different than what we had been doing collectively as a film crew. All pistons seemed to be firing that afternoon. It was magic hour. The sun was going down. It was golden light. The music of the poem entranced all of us, and we shot it in about four or five takes. The amazingly talented director of photography, Claudia Chea, he and I became like dance partners in a way. It was almost like a ballet or a tango. It was probably one of the more magical moments throughout the film.
He died deaf, dumb, and blind. He died and never found his cause, because you see, he never knew that he was the cause.
There's a point in the movie at which Miguel Piñero's had success. His play has opened, it's won awards, and he's being interviewed by a television reporter. And he says, I had to keep doing bad to keep the writing good. And I'm wondering if that's as much his own mythology as it is fact. Is that sort of his shtick?
That's a really good question. It's an odd relationship between pain and creativity, and it's interesting to ponder where genius comes from, where artistic passion comes from. His clearly comes from pain, but I believe that creativity can also come from beauty. But for him, I think he truly believed that he did have to keep doing bad to keep his writing good. The authentic voice that he created for himself in that forum came from living life on the streets, and he understood quite well that he needed to stay near it in order to keep that voice real and authentic.
I don't want to rest in some Long Island cemetery. I want to be near the stabbing, shooting, gambling, fighting, unnatural dying, and new birth crying. So please, when I die, don't take me far away, just keep me nearby. Just take my ashes and scatter them throughout the Lower East Side.
Benjamin Bratt stars as the poet and playwright Miguel Piñero in the new movie called Piñero.